Hi, this is Jeff with the SBCA podcast. If you'd like to be a guest on our podcast or would like more information about the podcast, please contact us at sbcapod@gmail.com. That's sbcapod@gmail.com. Let's get to the show. I'm your host, Jeff, and I'm so glad that you're here with us today. This podcast is for you. Camp directors, camp managers, camp volunteers, whoever you are, this podcast is designed to give you the information to make you successful to help your camp grow to its fullest potential. Content, connections, and camps. That's what we're doing here, and we hope you enjoy. Let's get on with the show. Wait. Hold on. Stop the show. Everybody just wait for just a second. I have something important I'd like to share with all of you. If you're out there and you're feeling all alone, you know who you are. Maybe you feel like, man, nobody understands what I'm going through. Nobody does camp the way that we do it. Nobody's ever had this problem before. Or maybe you're on the other side of that coin and you're asking yourself, where can I mentor all of my awesomeness? Because, man, we really got it going on. Well, guess what? You are in luck. The SBCA conference is going to be held at Piney Woods in 2024, and that is the conference for you. No matter what side of that coin you're on, whether you're in need of help, whether you're going to help, whether you've got everything figured out or not, or you're somewhere in between, you're going to find out what it's like to be all in camp ministry. Join us at Piney Woods in 2024. For a great time of fellowship, renewal, strengthening, encouragement, and I can promise you a whole lot of fun. It's going to be great for you, for your staff, but space is limited. So you're going to have to sign up quick. Watch the SBCA website at sbcamping.org for more information. And now we can get back to business. And welcome back to the SBCA podcast. I am privileged today to be sitting with Kimberly Guan. Am I saying that right, Kim? Guan?
Gone. Like
gone.
See you later.
Just
see you
gone. Later. Just like see you later, gone. Okay,
right.
Very good. Kimberly is the founder of Star Students, a small family-oriented company that offers innovative alternative and extracurricular learning solutions for students K through 12. The company caters to parents who are seeking alternatives to the public or private schooling systems, providing homeschooling, tutoring, teaching services, as well as customized coaching programs for homeschooling parents. Star Students operates virtually across the country, and you're located in Canada, but you operate virtually everywhere, right? You offer a personalized, hands-on approach to education, and you prioritize student progress over any kind of political considerations. So with a focus on making positive impact in the lives of children and families, Kimberly is dedicated and passionate educator who is committed to helping students reach their full potential. Kimberly, thank you so much for being on the podcast with me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
We have had a chance to kind of talk a little bit before, and man, what a great thing that you're doing. Explain to us a little bit the difference in your approach to education and how it's different than what people get just say in a school system or in any other kind of setting.
Of course, yeah. One of the concerns, first of all, Jeff, thank you very much for having me. I do appreciate it. In terms of what we do education-wise, speaking in terms of the teaching, one of the concerns all across North America, regardless of whether you're in Canada or if you're in the U.S., or if realistically you're in Australia, any sort of westernized country, education over the past, I want to say 10, 15, maybe even 20 years has become very politicized. There have been quite a few, if I can use the word narratives or agendas, that have been put in place, specifically in terms of curriculum, specifically in terms of the planning of lessons and where things go, and the frameworks that are used within schools. A lot of public schools in particular, now I can't speak for private schools or charter schools, but a lot of public schools in particular will approach things with certain frameworks in mind. And we here at STAR Students, myself and my teachers, take a stand against that. We don't believe that's right. There are certain things that are, there are certain conversations that belong in the home and in the home only. They don't belong to essentially a stranger or to a teacher or to some sort of administrative education official in a public educational setting.
Amen and amen and amen. I agree with that 150,000%. And I'm glad that you guys are taking up the charge on going through and focusing on what really needs to be taught and leaving those essential questions to the parents in the homes. It's giving the power back to where biblically I think it belongs, right?
Yes, I would agree. It absolutely belongs in the home. The home is where things are supposed to start and then where things are supposed to end. And provided that you have a solid home foundation and a positive and, I believe, a Christian home foundation, there's nothing wrong with putting the power, especially when it comes to education, back into the hands of parents.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So how specifically do you partner with these homeschool groups, many of our camps and many of the conference centers that we deal with, they host a lot of homeschool groups that come out there. How do you specifically partner with them to help them forward that education and to change maybe their perspective on what it is they're doing?
Yeah, so in terms of partnering with certain homeschool families or certain homeschool groups, we provide quite a variety of services to be able to support those individuals or support those groups, whether that's in the construct of actual teaching, or you're hiring private teachers, whether that's in the construct of becoming part of the homeschool coaching community, whether that's allowing us to partially support your children because you have children who are in forest school or some other alternative form of education. That's how we support them and the services that we offer for parents.
And you do this primarily online? Is that how that works? Or
yes, that's right. That's right. So actually, we are 100% online. I know we're obviously chatting through Zoom. Zoom is great. Zoom is fantastic, but it's not built for teaching. So we don't use Zoom for teaching. We use a completely privatized platform, much more secure, obviously, and a proprietary software that allows us to have much more of a classroom-like setting. And again, puts that control back in the hands of the student, really, and the parent or the guardian that may be associated with that child.
That's really good, and I'm glad you mentioned the security part of it, because this really kind of champions that need for protecting the family, protecting you guys. You guys are using something completely different. It's not just something that anybody can hop on. You have to be a part of that, and I think that is extremely beneficial for these families that are looking for where can I get some outside resources that I can trust that I know is going to keep my family safe, that's going to focus on the things that I feel like are the most important thing. How How customizable is some of the stuff that you do for these families? Is it pretty set, or is there some give and take there? Give me a little bit of an example of how that works.
Yeah, for sure. So for example, I mean, I'll talk about one of our elite homeschooling programs, which would be hiring STAR students as private teachers. So understand that that's only one of the options we offer. But just to kind of chat about how customizable that is. So what we provide essentially is a curriculum that follows the academic criteria of the public school system. A lot of the concern with homeschooling is that, I can't homeschool my children because they'll be behind, right? And B, how do I make sure that they are on the equivalent, on the academic equivalent, or on academic par with their same public school peers, right? How do I make sure that they still know those same things? As a side note as to how we do that, we wanted to be able to provide those services to parents who are wanting their children to have all of the opportunities without any of the additional fluff, as I like to call it, of the public school system, to keep it just the fluff of the public school system. And so what we did this year, for example, with our homeschooling program, so we followed the curriculum very closely in terms of the content that we were covering. There were certain subjects that we did not cover specifically because that was at the behest of this particular parent. So this particular child that I'm thinking of right now, she's the oldest in our program at the moment, and she did not do history because the parents requested that for personal and religious beliefs, which I absolutely respect, and which our teachers absolutely respect, they did not want us to cover history. So what we do in a case like that, we say, okay, no problem. Here's the expected curriculum. Here's what your child should know. As long as parents know the ramifications of perhaps if your child doesn't know any of that stuff, or you don't want them learning it, or you want to be able to teach them in a certain way, we will help you get there. But I want to make sure that you know the ramifications or the consequences, right, of not knowing that information. Now, is there any sort of real life consequence to not knowing that information? Perhaps, right? You're looking at, for example, the GED, right? In the States, it's different in terms of the names, but what it is essentially is an equivalency exam. So we make sure that students, with the permission of the parents, obviously, that students are able to go all the way to up to grade 12 and write their GED if that is something that they so choose to do. In terms of how customizable that is, we can leave out certain subjects, right? We added certain subjects. So instead of taking history, for example, this particular student, like I said, the oldest in our program, she's taking apologetics. Sure you know what apologetics is. Yes.
Yep.
And so we're doing apologetics together. And she's really excited. She's a very, very bright child. And she wants to learn. She's got quite the aspirations, for herself and for her life. In terms of, another one, the second oldest that we have, he's not doing history either. He chose to do electrical. So he wanted to be able to learn electrical. So we made an entire electrical unit, an entire electrical study following the curriculum guidelines, for certain things, right? So our job is to take the curriculum guidelines and make sure they're flexible with the expectations of the parents.
Wow. Now that is a phenomenal approach to looking at that, because I mean, obviously, you know, the way certain things are taught now, taking history, for example, science would be another example, and some of those things, it's not that necessarily some of that content is the actual content, the actual history is necessarily wrong, but I could see where a parent would say, well, they're teaching it from this perspective, and I would much rather veer away from that. And being able to come in and craft something that, okay, well, we're not going to do that, but we're going to give you some basic essentials that are encompassing some of that is from a direction that you want. And that I love that ability to be able to do that. And I think that's a principle and a concept that as camp leaders and camp directors, we should look at those similar types of things too. We develop programs for students. We develop, you know, pathways and curriculum and things like that. And typically all of our stuff comes from a particular Christian perspective. And I think we would benefit from being able to kind of look at what are some of the things that are currently being offered in the school or whatever, and how can we show them a better way and a better alternative, a better outlook on some of those things? How would you encourage somebody looking into doing some alternative education, whether it be at a camp or in their home or something like that? How would you encourage them to seek out, what's available for them in this kind of a setting? How do they find you? How do they find the resources? What do they look for?
Yeah, great question. And I get that a lot. You know, where do I start? That's the first question. How do I start? Right. It's such a large task. It seems like it's such a monumental decision. And it is, right?
Yeah, it is.
When you break it down into certain easy to follow steps, right, and you just focus on one step at a time, it becomes a lot simpler, right? You also have to remember
eating the
that.
Elephant one piece at a time.
That's right. I mean, I don't eat elephants. I've never eaten elephants.
I don't
eat. But I see that. I appreciate the metaphor. So it seems like a monumental decision. I mean, it definitely is. But taking it in little pieces and taking it one step at a time is the best way to go about it. As well as remembering that you can always be flexible. You can always change things. And there are certain things that you're going to try and you're going to not like. So how do we change that? How do we fix that? Right. You have that flexibility when you're homeschooling. If you're looking into homeschooling, if you're looking into any sort of alternative education, my first thing, I always laugh when I say this, I always kind of chuckle, is to do your research. That's an often overused phrase, is to do your research. But that's something that's really important. Typically, you're going to be looking, with search engines, you're going to be talking to people. I would say that that's one of the most important things that you can do, really. You can do all the research you want on the internet. You can look up all the things you want. You can see all the things you want. But making contact with a community, getting in touch with people who have done it before, having support around is really crucial. And I say this to every person who's looking at homeschooling or looking at alternative resources or anything of the sort. You're able to find resources almost anywhere you look. You can find, if you know what to search, if you know how to utilize, the World Wide Web, it's very easy to find resources. There's lots of resources out there. One of the easiest things to do is to get overwhelmed with all of that. And so my number one tip, I guess, or form of guidance or piece of advice would be that you have to be able to make contact with people who are currently doing it or who have done it before or who have experience. I will say from experience that homeschooling is a very isolating journey if you're doing it by yourself, because you're responsible for everything. Like, there is a reason, with all the public school faults and flaws, there is a reason that teaching is a full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
It's a lot of responsibility. And so as a parent or as a camp counselor or someone who's in a position of educational authority, in some sense, you want to be able to reach out to a community that has the resources and the willpower to be able to do what needs to be done or to be able to help you get where you need to go.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. As I think about this, I think about a statement that was made back in the 20s about public school systems and how man said that he envisions these beautiful little temples to humanism and all the little people go there to worship and all that stuff. And that's unfortunately what we've come to today, is a lot of the school systems have become these temples to humanism. They're teaching these things and inflicting them in the class. And for a parent that is looking and sees that and is looking to pull out of that and keep them away from that type of influence, yeah, it's a daunting task to look and say, I don't want to do that. And I want to make sure the things that I'm bringing into my home and I'm bringing into this isn't just a a version of that light. It's just not, you know, I want to make sure that I'm not doing some of those same things, and being able to look and vet some of those resources. I imagine that that's where a group like Star Students, like you would be able to say, these are things that we know that are tested, that are tried, that we can bring, and this is the where it comes from. And that kind of brings that perspective. So you're not having to do necessarily as much. You're trusting somebody who knows the curriculum, who knows the direction that you want to go, and can partner alongside you and bring that in. Would that be a fair assessment?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It would be.
Yeah, so as camp leaders and camp directors, it's important for us to know, how do we best minister to these families that are coming through? What is it that we can do? What are some tips and suggestions that you would give for those of us who aren't doing it for ourselves in our setting? We're not homeschooling the kids that are here, but we're seeing these groups come in. How can we best approach them and best approach their families and give them resources like that are valuable to them at our locations, at our camps?
Yeah, 100%. One thing is, I mean, that's a good question. One thing that I always stress is making sure that children, any child, whether they're homeschooled or in public school or whatever, whatever the educational model may be, that they have some form of confidence in digital literacy. Digital literacy is a huge thing. Like it or not, regardless of where you think the world is going, right now, it's here, and the internet is here for as long as it is. So you have a choice of either sticking your head in the sand and saying, I'm not going to, and I see this sometimes where people say, I'm not going to use any sort of digital tools. I want to stay completely away from the internet. My children are not going to know anything about the online world because it's corrupt, right? There's a lot, the internet is a dangerous place. And so I understand where a lot of parents are coming from with that. One of the things that I encourage, and that I would encourage camp leaders to do, is to have those sorts of conversations with the parents. Digital literacy starts within a safe place. That's how you teach digital literacy, is from a safe place, and from a place of guidance. I shouldn't say safe place. That's an overused phrase that I want to stay away from. From a place of guidance, right? From a place of guidance, from a place of trust, from a place of wisdom, right? I grew up with, my father was in IT. And his job is obsolete now because computers do what he did, you know, 30 years ago, sure. What he did by hand, right? But one thing that my father always stressed to me, he said, it's important for you to understand how things are used and how the internet should be used and how you can use it responsibly. So that would be my number one thing that I would say, is to stress digital literacy within a place of guidance, right? And from a place of wisdom. I highly, highly recommend that for anyone that I talk to with any child. I would say that one other thing that would be of value, make sure that you are building those connections, right? A lot of homeschooling parents or homeschooled children or homeschooling communities, they value, this is a common pattern I see, they value connection, like real connection over fleeting relationships of people coming in and out, right? One thing that we hear just in, you know, regular Western culture is this idea of people coming and going, right? And just coming and going as they please in their life, and they're not meant to be there. They're there for only a season, right? I find that homeschooling parents, homeschooling communities, they really value those connections. So starting with connections, talking to them face-to-face, talking to them, is there anything that we can do that is helpful to you, and offering guidance and help from a place of comfort and from wanting to assist, but from wanting to be involved in a positive manner. I would say that that's another one of the largest things that you can do that's going to really, I would say, improve your standing within the homeschooling community.
And that's good, because a connection is one of the things that I think as camp leaders and camp directors and camp facilities, we do the best. I mean, that connection really is the the heartbeat of what our ministries are. It's about making those connections, not just us with them, but them with each other, learning how to navigate social interactions and navigating those nuances that I know a lot of people put on to public school. Oh, this is where my kid will be socialized and some of those things. And I think that for us, for camps, we have an opportunity to really fill that. It's not really a void. There's a lot more socialization in homeschooling than people realize, but still fill a need or be a place or be an avenue for those homeschooling groups and families to come together and build those connections and build some of those things within those communities. So real quick, I don't want to take up too much more of your time, but tell us a little bit about what are the top three or top four, whatever number it comes to, needs that we can address when it comes to educating students, educating parents, and building that community within our area and our groups that we have.
Yeah. In terms of, I would say there's probably, let's go with three. We can go with three.
Okay.
So I would say that the first need would be, yes, as you said, socialization. A lot of people do have the mistake. I have done podcasts before where people will quite vehemently fight me on the fact that public schools are the places to socialize children. And if you don't send your child to public school, they will not get socialized. I have had conversations, Jeff, let me tell you. But that being said, it is obviously because your child is not spending 6 to 7 to 7.5, whatever it is, hours a day in school, they're not around other children their age necessarily for 6 to 7.5 hours a day. So that just means that you as the parent are responsible for making sure that they have other friends their age, that they're able to play with other kids their age, that they're able to talk to other kids their age, able to have intellectual conversations with other kids their age. And it doesn't need to be in a class of 30. It doesn't need to be in a class of 15. It doesn't need to be in a group of any large number, right? We sometimes have this idea that it's quantity over quality. And I say, no, it's quality over quantity. Quality relationships that you teaching your children to build quality relationships instead of a quantity of relationships is only going to serve them well in the future. That would be my top one, is contributing to the effects of socialization. And obviously that takes a community, right? Which leads me to my second one, a community. Oftentimes when you homeschool, the kids are the focus, right? Because the children are the ones that are being educated. They're the ones that are needing the assistance. But we forget about the parents a lot of the time. Parents need to have that sense of community. They need to have that sense of support. As I said a little bit earlier, you have to have that ability to be able to connect with other people your age as a parent who are also going through the same thing or have experience dealing with the same thing, or who have just traveled that road before in various circumstances. So providing a network of support for the parents as well as for the kids is really crucial, really important. Yeah. And then the third one that I would say is for yourself and for camp counselors and people who are camp leaders, building your own community of resources so that if someone comes to you, a parent comes to you and says, hey, I want my child to participate in, I don't know, martial arts. I find martial arts is a really common one among a lot of homeschooled families. So is swimming. Those seem to be the two common sports, right? Or extracurriculars.
Right.
Which is great. I think martial arts are fantastic. I never got into them. I wish I had now as an adult. I wish I had. But so if someone comes to me, for example, and says, I want my child to be able to do this or to be able to do that, if it's something that doesn't involve the academic and it's more along the lines of social, it won't be me. It won't be my company, but I will have a company that I know, a network, right, that I reach out to. So as camp counselors, that's how camp leaders and whatever and whatnot, you want to also have that same community of your own to pull on so that if somebody comes to you and it's something that you yourself or your company or your camp can't do, you know of another camp or another person or another activity or whatever it might be so that you're able to offer those solutions to parents that are looking for them.
That is phenomenal. That is phenomenal. Kimberly, thank you so much for all of that. You have given us just a great wealth of perspective and knowledge on how we can serve better and how we can reach and affect these communities and in our own homes. I mean, that's all of that we can take in our own and say, these are the things that we need to be doing. We need to be making sure of. How can people reach out to you specifically? If they say, man, I love what Kimberly's doing to Star Students, how can they connect with you? What is the process? How do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Well, if you're a person who likes to, write emails, if you're a person who likes text communication, or something that is written, my email, would be on my website, which is www.starstudents.co. So star, like the stars in the sky, and then students, like students as in kids. So www.starstudents.co. All contact information is on there, whether you want to call me, whether you want to text me, whether you want to email me. I am obviously available if anybody wants to chat. It may take a little bit in terms of making sure that we can coordinate something. I know camp counselors are really busy at this time of year as well.
yeah.
And there's always planning and life and whatnot, right? But right. I am fairly accessible in terms of being reached out to.
And that is .co, not .com. So
that's
if you're
correct.
Listening, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we got to be different. We got to be different.
You got to be different in Canada. You got to have
right.
your own special thing. That's right.
Yes, that's right.
So starstudents.co. Kimberly, thank you so very much for coming on, being a part of this podcast. Thank you for what you're doing for these homeschool families and what you're doing for the Lord in that. And I just continue to pray blessings on the ministry that you have there and what you're continuing to do for these kids. I love what you have on your screen there. It says teaching them how to think, not what to think. That is a great statement to have and a great mantra for all of us to remember is, you know, we're not just indoctrinating people. We're giving them the resources and the ability to be able to think for themselves and come to these right realizations. And I think if a lot more people did that, world would be a completely different place. Let's just put it that way.
I agree. It'd be a better place, but you know, we can all have our dreams and our wishes.
That's right. That's right. Kimberly, thank you so much for coming on. We look forward to seeing you again. Thank you for being a part of our podcast today.
You're so welcome. Thank you for having me.
And that was my interview with Kimberly Gaughan of starstudents.co. Kimberly is doing a great work up there in Canada and all across the United States with homeschool students, and you and your camp can do the same. Reach out to Kimberly and see how she might be able to help you in your camp where you are. Well, we're really thankful that you guys are listening to the podcast today. And if you were interested in being on the podcast, being a part of the podcast in any way, reach out to us at sbcapod@gmail.com. Look forward to seeing you soon. And don't forget, register for the SBCA conference coming this February at Piney Woods. This has been Jeff with the SBCA podcast. Praying all the best for you, your camps, and your staff as you seek to give Him glory in all. See you next time. The SBCA podcast is a production of the Southern Baptist Camping Association. Our theme song, First Day at Camp, written, produced, and performed by Caleb Gilbert.